Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
It's a little after 5 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons. Andy Hart, Ted Johnson, Nick Fitzy-Stevens. Want to thank a different Stevens, Kevin Stevens, for stopping by, having, I think, a pretty open conversation about his experiences their event. Reminder, PowerForward25.com if you want to get more information on his foundation, the gala, absolutely anything. As I said, if you want to give some help or you need some help, the website is sort of your point to do that. But we're going to get back to a little sports talk. We're going to lighten the load a little bit here, lighten the mood a little bit. It is 5 o'clock. It is time for The Drive.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep.
Top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home.
Stop!
On WEEI Afternoons.
There was a big baseball game north of the border. America's Hat last night in Toronto. A little bit of a playoff game that, you know, I think it's also classic that it was 1-1 after five, basically. To me, that's playoff baseball.
Yeah,
like a tight game. Not
love it.
Not six runs in the first inning or anything like that.
Give
that's
me a good
baseball.
Pitched 2-1 game all day, baby.
And that's what you got to be able to win. And the Red Sox turned 1-1 into 3-1. Teddy's guy. I feel like this is Teddy's guy from the way back.
Yeah.
You've been a big Narvaez fan all season long.
I feel
like you kind of jumped on his bandwagon. Kind of the like. What would have happened if you didn't have him? What would have happened if Connor Wong was really your catcher all the time and your guy came through last night?
Well, are you kidding me? I mean, he was like kind of a, you know, he was in the Yankees organization.
Afterthought.
Really. Dude, we were talking about the catching position besides first base as being thin.
Am I wrong that we spoke with Ian Brown early in before the season started?
He
was like, and this other guy... And he didn't really know how to say
Kevin Narvaez.
And that guy right now
is that guy?
You could argue, one of your most key players for the way he... I mean, because also remember, he handles the pitching staff. And we're saying, you got here on pitching. Yeah. Well, the catcher is a part of that with his little digital pitchcom thing where he's telling him to throw fastballs and stuff.
It was kind of like found money. I mean, he wasn't expected to play that much, and he's been a rookie sensation.
Yes.
So young team. The future looks bright. I mean, we've talked about it. It's kind of like, you want them to go on a playoff run, but, man, did you see how they're going to look pretty good next year?
Yeah,
going
but nope.
Into strength, we're not going there.
Where your feet are, Fitzy. You live where your feet are, and where the Red Sox are in the playoffs if they started today. And I guaranteed you on Monday. And I believe you pushed back a little bit against me. I know Dan Ball pushed back. But I think you pushed back a little bit against me when I guaranteed they were making the playoffs. You feel a little better about my guarantee now?
Oh, with each and every dub, I feel that much better. And when the odds are ever in their favor and let's say teams that seemingly couldn't lose actually do because they come back to a little place we know is reality or earth, then yeah, I feel a little bit much better about it. And as we were talking about in the opening hour, where would you rather be? With the Red Sox at the 2 playing the 1, which would likely be the Yankees, although, you know, they could still continue nipping at the heels of the Jays. Would you want them then play the Jays or go to the AL, likely the AL Central house? I got to say, you know, with Narvaez as a catcher, Whitlock as the setup guy, you know, two guys that came down, or rather up 95 from the Yanks to the Sox, You know, as much as it would probably be a better chance to get to the ALDS through Toronto or through, let's say, the Guardians or the Tigers, what's better than the theater of Sox Yankees to kick off their first postseason in 4 years?
Nothing.
I mean, this is what it is all about. And to have former Yankees on the Sox roster potentially playing pivotal roles, come on now. That is what it is all about.
Put it in my veins. It is the Yankees or the Red Sox, please.
It is the best story. I agree with that. But then there's the other part of me that's like, I kind of just want to play the Blue Jays. I don't really think they're playing all that well right now. And I kind of want to, and not that I don't think the Red Sox can beat the Yankees, because obviously this season showed they kind of had the Yankees number for most of the year. But as I said to Ted, we went to that Friday night game and I watched that home run that Aaron Judge hit. And
we all stood up like, wow, look at that ball just go.
I said it at the time. I wasn't even mad. I was just sort of impressed with what I've seen. And, you know, it's a little bit like what Brian Hoyer told us yesterday, players over plays. And I look at Judge and Stanton. And it's easier to count on those guys, Fitzy, to give you the one hit you need to win a game than, no offense to Narvaez or Yoshida or Nathaniel Lowe or all these guys we're excited about, but their guys are Hall of Famers and MVPs. Yeah. Our guys are like nice stories.
Still unproven.
There's a big difference, though, Ted. The Red Sox have to, like, manufacture runs. They have to, like, get a hit, maybe another hit. There could be a pass ball. There could be a steal.
Story steals.
Right. Like, they have to do all these things to get 1, 2, 3 runs. My God, in an inning, who in this economy, who would have thought? Whereas the Yankees just flat out generate runs. Like, they have a factory of long balls, mashers, and people that are just constantly churning out home runs, dingers, long balls.
So as good as we feel after last night's game, there were also some, what I would say, examples of fatigue with last night's effort. I think Giolito looks permanently fatigued over his last few starts. And I think Trevor Story, who we talked about last week, couple errors, kind of single-handedly screwed you up. And last night had a throwing error. I think fatigue has settled into the Boston Red Sox. A lot of guys playing a lot of baseball, pitching a lot of baseball. So I threw out a general question to the manager, Alex Cora. Is fatigue just flat out a factor right now for all baseball teams? How big a factor is fatigue for baseball teams?
I mean, physically, everybody feels it, right? But I think mentally, in the position we're in, I think we pass that, right? You get locked in. You know that if you do the job the next few games, you know, you're going to be playing October baseball. That was the number one goal. Now just show up, take care of your body, whatever you need to do to be on top that night. You know, if it's rest, no BP, no ground balls, whatever it is, you know, whatever it takes to be on point at 7:05, do it. And then mentally, I think, like I said, you know, every team that is in this position, they're locked in.
So it's interesting he broke it up into physical fatigue and mental fatigue. I agree the Yankees are the more physically imposing team.
Oh, God, it's not even close.
Could you argue that the Red Sox might be the more mentally imposing? Like, they've been through more to get here. And there's a lot of angst that goes through New York in the postseason.
Yeah.
I know a lot of Yankees fans that think the Yankees are kind of choking dogs, and it'll go wrong in the end. And I'm not sure that feeling permeates Red Sox Nation right now. This is a fun little baseball team with their little Wally helmet. And I think there might be an argument to be made that the mental side of things would be on the Red Sox side of the ledger, Fitzy.
Yeah, and also don't forget about the fact that the Red Sox, even though they only won one in the final weekend series at Fenway, where you guys saw that majestic home run on Friday night, they did have their number for the better part of the season, and they've had their number for the better part of many series over many seasons as well. And I'm seeing ads on Instagram and cable and more for yet another Boston comeback series as well. Like, it almost feels like now the Yankees have to exercise the demon of the Red Sox in the postseason to kind of turn their Yankee pinstripe fortunes back around.
Well, it's interesting because you can see it both ways. You can see, well, the Red Sox are young, and a lot of guys that have never been put in this position are going to be putting it for the first time, and young and dumb and don't know any better, and they don't know what they don't know. So that could benefit them. Or you could say, well, they've never been here. The pressure, the stage is too big. Yankee players. I mean, so what do we got? We have two players, the Briggs and Chapman, that have won World Series. And
Lowe?
And Lowe, excuse me.
Don't forget about the Lowe Vaughn show.
So, there's enough guys that have been there that can maybe show the young guys how to do it. But I think fatigue is, because Trevor Story's had a breakout season.
Yes.
And, you know, can he hang on and keep it going? It's looking a little questionable on that. I think even our two and three pitchers are kind of starting to waffle a little bit.
I would say 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah. So
you seen all the home runs that Crochet? Yeah,
well, they're pitching more innings than they've ever pitched on the biggest stage. So it's who knows? But it's going
to
be fun.
Before we move on to a little issue with Christian Gonzalez, Dan Ball, I did want to say, though, if the Red Sox play the Yankees at Yankee Stadium, the vision that just came into my head is there's not a lot of ballparks I like for Yoshida to hit a home run out of. Yankee Stadium
right
is
field,
one of
baby.
Them.
Right I mean,
field.
Yeah, their right field is basically second base.
Yes,
so his normal ground out
to
second
to.
Is a home run. Yeah,
it's like 300 feet at most.
Now that he's over the setback, he's feeling healthy. You gave me all these numbers that he's such a great hitter over the last month.
Because he is. And I'd say his most his most memorable moment as a member of the Red Sox is that game-tying home run off of Clay Holmes in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. So could we see another one of those next week in a wild card performance? Ooh, doggy. Yes, Fitzy.
I was going to say, also, we talked to Alex Cora about how Abreu's looked and how nice it would be to have him sort of start heating up right now. He's only two games back, Andy, but we know him to be one of, if not the streakiest hitter. Whose swing is more tailor-made besides Yoshida for Yankee Stadium, should that be the matchup next week, than Willie Abreu, who's feeling
Nate
better?
Lowe.
All right. That's right. Sweet and low down. Yeah, I mean, this might, like, I don't know. I'm not like going to bed at night, like, please don't let it be the Yankees. Please don't let it be the Yankees. Yeah, they improved their bullpen. Yeah, they got a bunch of mashers. Come on, like, to be the best, you got to beat the best. Do this thing.
Speaking of the best, Christian Gonzalez is the best player on the Patriots.
Yes.
One of the best cornerbacks in football.
Yes.
In theory, because he hasn't played yet, so we don't actually know if he's any good this year, if he's healthy.
He was last year.
He was last year, all pro. So we have a little report off, info off, news off, setback off, whatever you want to call it.
Is it a scoop off?
We do. So let's go to our buddy Mike Giardi and what he knows of Christian Gonzalez, who hasn't played yet.
There was a setback. I mean,
all right, stop it right there. I don't need all the rest of the words. He said there was a setback. He said flat out, there was a setback. We haven't seen Christian Gonzalez since July 28th. He's like 2 months into a hamstring injury. And
you heard him loud and clear right there.
There was no setback. And this is an injury. Remember from the beginning, he was walking around at practice, signing autographs. All he had was a leg sleeve on. It's not like he was carted off because the leg got ripped off the bone or all these crazy things.
Yeah.
And we still haven't seen him. So then last night on NBC Sports Boston, Burt Breer has a report.
I've dug around on this the last couple of weeks, and like what I found is there wasn't a setback.
Whoa. Burt Breer, well tied in, well informed, lots of sources. There wasn't a setback. Mike Giardi, well tied in, lots of sources.
So who do we believe?
Both.
Because they're both right?
Both. No, they can't both be right.
So someone's wrong.
But nope, the sources are wrong, not the reporters. Well, a reporter is only as good as his source, and you could have manipulated information here between the team and the player and who needs to look good and who needs to figure out how we look good. That's my theory here, that there were different sources from within the Gonzalez camp, and then there was different sources in the Patriots camp.
If you're in the Gonzalez camp, what are you putting out? That you had a setback or didn't?
Oh, I would. I think I would have a setback.
Oh, I think it looks way better if you say you had a setback.
Because if I'm 2 months on just a little hamstring injury,
there you go.
Now we start talking about contracts.
Right,
but we also had the horse. The horse's mouth was talking at Gillette Stadium at his locker. Certainly sounds like a guy who is ready to play.
What was your reaction to the decision not to play?
I mean, I was upset. But I mean, you know, sometimes you gotta look at yourself and you know, make sure you're all the way ready. You know, hamstrings are a tough injury. It's a tough spot. So that's what it is.
Fair to say you're playing this Sunday?
I'm excited.
He's excited. Well, also, he said he was upset last week that he didn't play.
That tells you he's playing that.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
He's playing.
I didn't hear
this
that
week.
Part
Book
earlier.
It.
Yeah, he's playing this week. I kind of thought it would be this way. I thought the practice buildup last week.
Yeah.
Now, he might have if he made the decision, but he said it was Vrabel's decision. Also, there could be a manipulation of the narrative here. This actually helps Christian Gonzalez. He wanted to play last week. He was just biting, biting.
They wouldn't
biting.
Let me.
He was a dog. They had the chain on him. He was ready to go. So he fights. He wants to win. I don't have to ask him if he wants to win. He wanted to be out there last week. Pretend that this is contract related and he's slow playing it. He tried to get out there and Vrabel wouldn't let him. Yes, oof. Dan Ball.
Also, side note, why are Patriots players starting to chuckle and laugh at serious questions? Yeah. He did the same thing that, what's his name, Pop Douglas did.
Because they're not very good at the media relations
too.
Thing.
Oh. They're young. All they right, don't get it.
It's also a thing these days. I mean, I shouldn't say it's a thing. I can tell you as a parent, I have two kids that giggle sometimes when I'm yelling at them, and it infuriates me. Like, if I were advising athletes and or kids, the last thing you should do when you're in trouble or getting yelled at is smirk, giggle, or laugh. It makes the other person, it ramps it up 25% more. Mm-hmm. But good catch, Dan Ball. They need a little coaching up maybe by Stacey James and company. Mm-hmm. Here, listen, I almost don't even care what you say. Just don't smirk or smile or laugh when you're being asked a tough question.
I think he was laughing at the question, though. Like, what was your reaction to the news? He's like, what do you think? I wanted to play.
Yeah, but don't do that. Just answer the question. Use your words. You're a big boy. Like they tell you when you're in like preschool. Use your words. You're a big boy now. Use your words. Don't, because people... They do what we're doing right now. They interpret the laugh. They interpret the face.
I wouldn't use your word. Like, ask DeMario Douglas about that 4th-and-2 play. His words weren't very good.
He should use somebody else's words. Better words. Because his words were definitely not very good. God. But that's going to do it for the drive today here on WEEI Afternoons. Up next, we do need to talk about Garrett Crochet. Ted Johnson says your second and third starter have looked a little tired down the stretch. What about your ace? Giving up a lot of home runs, we'll look at the big game tonight for Garrett Crochet and your Boston Red Sox in Toronto. But first, and for the final time, Dan Ball has what's trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEEI. The Red Sox won their first game in Toronto against the Blue Jays last night. Game two of that series is this evening. First pitch at 7:07. Garrett Crochet will start opposite Max Scherzer. Here's your lineup for tonight as Jaron Duran leads off in left. Then it's Trevor Story at short. Alex Bregman at third. Masataka Yoshida is your DH with Romy Gonzalez at second. Seinan Rafaela in center. Nathaniel Lowe at first. Willy Abreu in right. And Carlos Narvaez is your catcher, and he is batting ninth. You can listen to tonight's game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. MassMutual pregame show with Christian Arcandis tonight at 6:07, and Will Fleming and Mike Monaco have the call of the game. New this afternoon from ESPN's Jeff Passan, the Nationals are finalizing a deal to name Paul Toboni their new head of baseball operations. Toboni rose rapidly to become assistant general manager of the Red Sox and is widely regarded as one of the best young executives in Major League Baseball. The Patriots return to the practice field earlier this afternoon. New England hosts the Carolina Panthers on Sunday afternoon. Kickoff is at 1 p.m. Both teams are 1-2 on the season. Some practice squad moves for the Pats. Defensive back Tyron Herring has been signed. He entered the NFL as an undrafted free agent out of Dartmouth and Delaware in May. Defensive back Corey Ballantyne was then released. And the Browns signed tackle Thayer Munford Jr. off of New England's practice squad, replacing injured tackle DeJuan Jones. And finally, the Bruins came back from down 4-1 after two periods to beat the Rangers 5-4 in overtime in their second preseason contest. Nikita Zadorov scored the game-winning goal. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons. We didn't get a lot of time to talk about this. Jeff Passan put out his, I would say, unique end-of-season awards this week. because they're not a traditional just like run down the list. Like, this is the MVP. This is the Cy Young. There's a lot more there.
He took a shot at the Red Sox in one of them. Did you see that? Yeah. One of them was like the beer and chicken collapse
award
or
there was
something
award
like that.
Named after him.
Yeah.
Yes, there
like,
was.
Oh, okay, passing.
Yeah, he got creative. But for a Red Sox tie-in, the transaction of the year, and he had a bunch of different coulda, shoulda, woulda, mighta been candidates, but he says the trade for Garrett Crochet for the Red Sox and the White Sox end of it. He actually said this is one of those rare deals that works out for both teams. Kyle Teal, apparently everybody believes, is a future all-star catcher for the White mm-hmm. Sox, and the rest of the deal is helping them out and will continue to in the future. Montgomery, the kid, is moving up. Braden Montgomery's moving up the minor league ladder. But from a Red Sox perspective, Garrett Crochet was absolutely everything you wanted, you needed, you had to get. This season doesn't happen without Garrett Crochet, regardless of what happens tonight as he takes the mound in Toronto for, is this still a must-win game, Fitzy?
Is need to sufficient?
Really, like, would you like it to?
Yeah, it's not, I mean, we're, okay, at this point now, we're in elimination territory because it's down to the magic number of three.
Yep.
Now, they could go over like Dan Ball had been fantasizing about in his bubble bath over the weekend, or we can win one or two and then work our way in because everyone else isn't going to be damn perfect. So it's not must win, but it's rather sort of kind of need to.
Yes, and our faith level, I mean, there's a lot of stats out there. The reality is that Garrett Crochet has been hitting a lot of middle of barrels of bats mm-hmm. lately, giving up home runs. I think it's Dan Ball. I don't even. Dan Ball gets mad at me when I ask him a question that's already in the rundown. So mm-hmm. I'm going to just give a quick look at the rundown. You guys,
can I throw one thing in there?
Nope, not here. Okay, go ahead.
It was a game. It felt like, you guys remember, it was the Orioles a few weeks ago, and Crochet was just throwing right over the plate, and they had like four home runs in the first two innings.
I think it was a little later. I think he was actually good for like three innings, and then it was either the fourth or the fifth inning. It was like home run.
Part of me just thought, you know what, he didn't respect the lineup, and so he was like, you know, I'm just gonna throw it over the middle, and he's like, okay, dude, they're jacking the ball out on your balls over the middle. You need to hit the edges more, and he just bad game plan.
Yes, and but we did. You're right. It was a lead, and then, he was attacking the strike zone too much and that, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, well, how come it keeps happening? Because they didn't hit all 12 home runs you've allowed in the last, whatever it is, two-plus weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it is, number of starts. And so that's a concern. That is, because, you know, my vision of, like, Yoshida hitting a game-winning home run at Yankee Stadium? Well, I don't like the other end of that vision where, like, Judge hitting a bomb off of Crochet to win because – in the postseason, that margin comes real, real narrow. You give up a home run. Yep. I bet Mike Vrabel, have Stretch run the stats for me. Mm-hmm. When you give up a home run as a starting pitcher in the postseason, I bet you probably lose a lot. Yeah. I bet you there's a lot of losses.
The one thing I would say about the playoffs, though, the scouting report, the focus, the attention, like having a better game plan is going to be more important in the playoffs than it would be in a regular season game that's, you know, number whatever, 140 a game out of 162. So I think it'll be a different approach and result, is my guess.
So as we embark on this game, and Fitzy, you brought it up to Alex Cora, and I think you're right. He played to win last night, which he should have. I'm not going to.
That was
criticize.
A playoff game. Everything is, like, I think.
Yeah. That was a Ramon Vasquez game.
No, like, he's treating these like playoff games. Like, he let on later he wants to win as soon as possible to give his guys some rest, Andy, because everyone is spent.
Yeah, so, in the middle of the season, he would have handled it totally different.
Yeah, 100%.
I got a plan for the whole week.
Right, there's no tomorrow if you don't start winning games kind of thing here. But my question is, we know here more than anywhere, because we talk to Alex Cora every week, we like Alex Cora, we get along with Alex Cora, we tend to defend Alex Cora on occasion, and I won't even say we, I'll say me. I like Alex Cora.
As do I. I'll second you on that.
We are kind of seen as like these Cora guys, quote unquote, and we get a lot of pushback on the text line, calls. He stinks, fire him, this, that. I think last night was an example. He did a nice job managing the Boston Red Sox to victory. His team helped. Don't get me wrong. It's always about the players. Where's our faith level in him tonight or a week from tonight in terms of that? Managing a playoff baseball game as well as you possibly can to win the game.
I'll just go first, Fitzy. I think that's his biggest strength. If you were to talk to Will Fleming. Now, he might be biased, but he would also say that managing the game in the playoffs is probably Alex Cora's biggest strength.
Yep.
So I would say as these games get tighter and tighter, that and it's basically win or go home, that's when he's at his best.
Yep, and emptied a lot of the bullpen last night, guys. 4 1/3, although scoreless, which was very impressive.
Hitless, I believe. Yeah,
you'd rather not have to do 4 1/3 from the bullpen again tonight, which is why we all believe, and he intimated, or rather just flat out stated, they could use a big one from the big guy tonight.
Yes, and Lou Maloney has been acknowledging that in various posts today, if you follow him, alluding to the pig. He showed his breakfast side of bacon, like great night for this or something.
I love that. It's
yes.
Fun.
So, yeah, no question. It's a big night for Garrett Crochet. Dan Ball?
Just to add to the Cora column as well, with a bunch of young guys and inexperienced guys that he talked about in the interview, other than Bregman and Lowe having playoff experience, he's a guy, you hear the tenor of his voice. He's going to calm this group down. I feel like he's one of the best guys that you can find at getting his group mentally ready to play in this big of a stage.
And I'll add another guy to that equation who, Ted, you've been big on this. You can't lead unless you're playing well. You can't lead and suck. And your guy, Alex Bregman, was kind of sucking.
Oh, yeah.
Until last series.
Oh.
I believe he was on base 9 times in the 3 games. I believe he had multi trips to the base every game. That allows him to have whatever meeting they had in Toronto,
that's it,
players
buddy.
Only. There that allows him to cheer guys up, pat them on the back, tell them this, tell them that, right?
It's my biggest worry and concern was that Alex wasn't going to be playing good going into the playoffs when you need him locked in so that he can lead these young guys in the playoffs where most of them have never experienced. So Alex Bregman playing good at this time of the year is imperative for this team to do well.
And virtually everybody, Fitzy, at some point in the season on this team has pointed to Alex Bregman and thanked him for helping him fix something, point something out. And he can better do that, as Dan Ball tells me, with a .375 on-base percentage over the last 7 days. That is better than his on-base percentage for the season. So you start playing well, makes it easier to go up to Giolito. Lowe said something last night. Lowe was one of the guys that Bregman has helped out, and all of a sudden he's got 2 RBIs and you win a game.
Yeah, well, you know when it's easy for those things to happen? When you get into Bregman season, because the guy has never missed the playoffs. And the Reds, he's
going
like,
back
he's
to ninth
right
grade,
now.
I
he's
believe.
Feeling it. He's feeling
he?
It right
is that
now.
Right?
I believe he claims either eighth or ninth grade. He has made the playoffs every level, every year of baseball he's ever
That's
been at.
Crazy.
And I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but it looks like he's going to extend that streak. The other thing is, I don't have any problem with Alex Bregman going to Yankee Stadium. I wish he were left-handed, maybe, so he could take advantage of the short porch out there.
Shot porch, yeah.
But other than that, I think he is – now's his time to shine. This we were a little worried.
Yep.
This is another guy. Yep. So Ted Johnson, if you haven't been paying attention in recent weeks, he wavered on Drake May a little bit, a little wavering after week one. And even St. Bregman, he started to worry about.
Because he was in a long slump there, bub. It wasn't just a couple weeks.
Prolonged.
It was a long one, and I was a little worried that, he had that injury that kept him out for, what, almost over a month, almost 6 weeks. And I thought maybe, just maybe, that we'd seen the best of Alex. But he's starting to see the ball better. He's getting on base. He's walking more. So he's seeing pitches easier now. And so – hopefully that bodes well for the playoffs.
And our guy Will Fleming, who I get a lot of nuggets if you listen to the Mass Mutual pregame show with
They'll
Will
give
Fleming,
you some, man.
And he was talking about how he's seen Bregman lock in more than he's ever seen him. He has seen batting practice displays that are much better than they had been 2 weeks ago when he was in the midst of that slump. So, and maybe it's as simple as what you're talking about, Fitzy. You know, combination of the health and figuring that out, and maybe he is limited physically. Maybe the thigh is bothering him, and maybe he has just figured out how to play through it. Or maybe it's like, is that October on the horizon? Are we about to get to my time?
You know that's why he came here. He came here to experience playoff baseball in Fenway.
Yeah.
This is what he's dreamed of doing.
He might not, but
so he's,
he might experience
it. So let's go,
Alex. Could be 3-and-out at Yankee Stadium or Cleveland.
It's not that far down to Yankee Stadium.
No, but come on. It's the smell of the mulling spices, pumpkins, the leaves, L.L. Bean. cider donuts. Yeah, New England. It just hits different this time of year.
Absolutely. So I think Alex Bregman will enjoy playoff baseball as a member of the Red Sox, whether it is at Yankee Stadium or Rogers Center or whatever the hell Safeco Field is now, because I don't think it's Safeco Field out in Seattle, and wherever else he plays. He's going to enjoy it. You know why? Because if they have any success, he's going to get a lot of the credit. He might get more credit than the manager. Like, there's going to be a lot of flowers thrown his way if they can advance in the postseason. So, but it starts tonight, game two in Toronto. Blue Jays, Red Sox, Garrett Crochet on the mound for the final time during the regular season. The final display he can put out there as he tries to steal a Cy Young award that kind of got away from him over the last few weeks.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Well, Scooble may have also damned his chances a little bit last night with that awful, awful incident.
So, Crochet, just go out there. Let's throw something. Let's say eight scoreless with 12 Ks. That would be nice. Eight scoreless, 12 Ks. Red Sox win. We're all happy tomorrow. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, it's time for Odds and Ends.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Always, when that great 20-year era ended, it was always my intention to commission a statue for both Tommy and Bill when their respective careers were over, playing and coaching. And Bill's coaching career ends. We look forward to sitting down with him and having a statue made to be right next to Tommy.
Robert, fast track that statue, because Bill's coaching career is on life support. Good Lord. They are coming after him hard. The columns being written, the comments being made, we haven't had a chance to get to it. And we're going to get to more of it, hopefully, as the week goes on. Reminder, tomorrow, Thursday, here on WEEI Afternoons, 3:30, Tom E. Curran will join us to talk all things Patriots. But for odds and ends today, brought to you by Cars for Kids, and I'm going to find that read in a second, but I'm going to start the odds and ends first. Jordan is in the news today with TMZ, because Jordan has some new, these legal documents are what get these people in the news a lot. And Jordan has filed in Massachusetts an LLC called Spring Street Seafood Company.
Good Lord.
And she has a description of the business. It intends to produce written and audiovisual work tentatively titled, quote, Razor, and then in parentheses, Ophidian's version. So
what the hell is that?
Christian Arcan, you can join in on this too, based on your face.
Is she involved in all these get-rich-quick schemes? Oh. Like, why is this happening?
She's
right
obsessed
now?
With it.
Like, I understand if she was just trying to get money from him, but why is she? Why is she getting invested in a seafood company? Like, what's happening?
But I don't think
is she in the mafia, and this is like a front. That's what it seems like.
Well, she comes from the family of a lobsterman. We all know that backstory in Maine. And whole thing. And she does actually do work. Charitable work to try to support lobstermen.
She made
lobster
a speech about it at the Miss Maine pageant, right? Or something, right?
Yeah. So there is.
But the Ophidian stuff, it's snake. It's
snake.
And she wears snakes, a lot of snake patterns,
and
clothes.
And the version thing is tied into her obsession with Taylor Swift. Taylor's version with that whole
But I think even the snake is tied to Taylor Swift.
So my first theory here, Fitzy, and you are Mr. Crazy Patriots, play on words, history, whatever. Razor. What's called the razor?
Let's see. There's Occam's. There's the shaving one. Oh, there's the stadium that Bill coached in for 20 years.
Known as the razor. And if the snakes
Andrew Raycroft, you forgot him too.
Andrew Raycroft.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll be talking to him soon, I think, on WEEI Afternoons. Unless he mends fences with the midday show. I don't think that's happening.
I wouldn't bet on that.
We'll probably be talking to him soon. But my theory here, just my reaction to this, legal documents, blah, 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 what are they going to do? Who knows? This is Bill's version. This is going to be some sort of a media platform outlet thing where instead of the dynasty and everything Kraft's been doing to tear Bill down, everything that happened, or Ted Johnson even, he can respond to Ted. Anything
bring
that
it, Bill,
Bill wants to push back on or give his version of the last 25 years, this will be the outlet. Am I selling that at all? Is it possible that the Razor, the Snake's version, because he's the snake at the Razor, he's not wanted there. Tough sell. I was an English major. I'm working here. I'm interpreting this poetry that's put before me.
I would say he was doing this kind of last year, right? He had his podcast. He had the Underdog Show.
Yep.
He was doing the Let's Go podcast. Like, he was doing all these things. Yeah, he had opportunities to set the record straight. He didn't really do it.
You know what he's realized? It's over. So I don't have to worry about getting back in the NFL or going to the SEC. I'm going to be kicked out of UNC after this season because my team stinks.
He's playing for his future.
And his future is tell-all. Tell-all. You want to make me look bad? I know where the bodies are buried. You know I know the secrets. I'm coming for you.
I think that's what gets Bill and Jordan up every day is getting back at people. I think that's what they're obsessed about. Like every day, who can I get back at with?
Well,
you know?
Robert Kraft would be in the crosshairs there, but or maybe they just could, you know, sit down, break bread, and put up a statue.
Friggin' coach, just do what people like. Coach football, be snarly with the media.
But
make
he's not good at that anymore.
Joke. I don't get this.
He can't anymore.
Does he understand that he is just like salting his own earth on a daily basis?
No, he does not see it that way. That's the scary part. It's like somebody needs to tell him about Bill. Do you know how you look right now? I mean, you know, do you see how this is being played out in the media?
But I don't think he cares.
He doesn't care.
Since when does he care?
He'd be down on all of us. I say that he does care because he's obsessed with what people say.
He cares when someone asks how they met.
Yes.
He cares about that.
He cares, but he wants you to think he doesn't care.
That's the weird dynamic with him. That's the right answer.
All right, that was odds.
I'm looking
ends.
Forward to the Us Weekly article, too, by the
yes.
way.
Yes. Did you read it?
Well, no, I didn't. Is there even an article? I just saw the cover.
Oh, yeah. I saw that, too, and assumed I just didn't have time to read it. But yeah, I love Brett McMurphy taking a shot at him like a college reporter. He was like, Bill Belichick becomes the first person ever to lose to UCF and then be on the cover of Us Weekly the next day.
Probably factual, I'd say.
All the college pundits and people that cover college football are loving this.
Well, it's everywhere. Mary Kay Cabot. There was a reason.
Because they came in thinking the 33rd team. They thought they were going to be all that in a bag of Cheetos, and they're like,
now they're the 133rd team.
I enjoyed the Nantucket Magazine article about him and Linda. That was journalism right there.
And this one should be good, and I will read that. But that's Cars. That's Odds and Ends, brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS for Kids. That's Cars with a K. Christian Arcand. What do we got tonight? We got a little more swagger? A little more swagger after last night?
Way more. I mean, way more. It's not even close. And I would say that a win like that, I don't know if it's really sunk in with Red Sox fans yet, but a win like that last night was a huge step forward. And making the playoffs this year, for all the problems that they've had and for the first 3 months of the season where they dinked around and played 500 ball, that can all be in the rearview mirror starting anew here in just a day or two. And they're right there. And while it's been a bit of a skid to get to this point, it's nothing compared to what Detroit's doing, what the Astros are doing, and certainly not even what the Blue Jays are doing. They're about to get knocked out at the top of the AL East. Like, this right now is such a wide-open field that as a Red Sox fan, I feel like people should be much more optimistic about their chances right now, looking at all these other teams imploding all around them.
And also, not just their chances to make the playoffs, but once you're in.
And to get to go, that's what I mean. Yeah,
if you end up matching up with, and I haven't done the permutations, whatever, I'll just let it play out and you tell me who they're playing when it's all done. But a team like the Blue Jays could be stumbling into the postseason.
Yeah.
You could suddenly feel a little momentum going into the postseason. And we said it earlier, even the Yankees are a team that notoriously, there's a lot of fans in New York that don't have faith in the Yankees.
True.
And
but they are playing better than those other teams, right?
Oh, now. I know.
New York, Seattle, Cleveland, and the Red Sox. I mean, that's it, you know, and the other four teams are all
But if Crochet
stumbling.
Goes out and pitches seven scoreless at Yankee Stadium to open a series, they'll be boo birds out, and my guy Yoshida hits a home run into the right field bleachers to win the game. See, he's my guy now, damn ball.
He's the hottest guy on the team right now.
He is. You know, after he got over that setback.
And
with
he's
that
hitting
injury.
Well, too. Hey-oh.
All right, that's going to do it for, I see what you did there, WEEI Afternoons for today. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 6, hopefully talking about another great crochet performance, hopefully another Red Sox win. As I mentioned, we'll talk to Tom E. Curran at 3:30, and we'll talk about the Patriots. Did you see those tweets out there? Was that Travion Henderson running with the ones in the backfield? Do the Patriots have a new starting running back? All that and more tomorrow afternoon, 2 to 6, WEEI Afternoons. Talk to you then.
And you can't take your eyes off Nathaniel Lowe!
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.